93.3 FM and 1340 AM KIHR and GorgeRadio.com presents the Mid-Columbia Today Show with Mark Bailey. Special thanks to our sponsors, Skyline Health and Del Carpine Automotive. Now, here's Mark Bailey.
Good morning. It is 8:05 Mid-Columbia Today on a Friday. We've arrived at the end of the week. It is the 20th of February. Thank you for joining us this morning. Here's what we're doing on the program. First part of the show, Tamara Tappel from the Mount Adams Chamber of Commerce is here. We've got a few things to talk about. They got some workforce grants we could talk about. We'll talk a little bit about big art. We'll talk a little bit about garage sales as well. Start to think ahead to that in the springtime. Second half of the show, Alicia Sherburn is going to join us. Big River Community Land Trust. They just received about a $2 million grant somewhere along those lines to help deal with housing in the Hood River area. And this puts them toward some development on Avalon. They, remember, purchased a piece of property a few months back that can handle a number of housing units. So we will talk to Alicia about where they're at, what they still need to do, though, as well. But first, as we always do, let's tell you what this day has meant and what it means, at least to some people. This day in 1762, President George Washington, actually 1792 if I read this correctly, President George Washington signed an act creating the U.S. Post Office Department, the predecessor of the U.S. Postal Service. 1862, William Wallace Lincoln, the 11-year-old son of President Abraham Lincoln and First Lady Mary Todd Lincoln, died at the White House from what was believed to be typhoid fever. 1905, the U.S. Supreme Court in Jacobson versus Massachusetts upheld 7-2 compulsory vaccination laws intended to protect the public's health. 1907, President Theodore Roosevelt signed the Immigration Act, which excluded, we're quoting here, idiots, imbeciles, feeble-minded persons, epileptics, insane persons, among others, from being admitted to the United States. 1939, more than 20,000 people attended a rally held by the German-American Bund, a pro-Nazi organization in New York's Madison Square Garden. 1962, astronaut John Glenn became the first American to orbit the Earth as he flew aboard Project Mercury's Friendship 7 spacecraft, which circled the globe three times in a flight lasting 4 hours, 55 minutes, and 23 seconds before splashing down safely in the Atlantic Ocean about 260 miles northwest of San Juan, Puerto Rico. 1965, on this date, America's Ranger 8 spacecraft crashed into the moon's surface as planned after sending back thousands of pictures of the lunar surface. 1998, American Tara Lipinski became the youngest ever Olympic figure skating gold medalist when she won the women's title at the Nagano Olympic Winter Games. American Michelle Kwan won the silver. And in 2003, a fire sparked by pyrotechnics broke out during a concert by the rock group Great White at the Station nightclub in West Warwick, Rhode Island, killing 100 people and injuring over 200 others. Our days for today. It is National Women's Heart Day today. That, of course, is about heart health. It's Clean Out Your Bookcase Day. Many of us probably need to do that. It is Love Your Pet Day today, as you always should. It's National Caregivers Day. We salute all those who are giving care to those who need it. It's National Student Volunteer Day today. It's also National Leadership Day. And it's National Comfy Day Day. National Comfy Day today. Supposed to get comfortable. However that may be. By the way, Canadian hockey fans are not comfortable right now because Finland just scored first in the first period. Finland won Canada nothing on a power play goal. 3 minutes to go in the first period of the men's hockey semifinal at the Olympics. Americans play at noon today against Slovakia. The other days today are food today. It's National Fish Fry Day today. It's the Friday Fish Fry. We're heading into Lent, and that's why it's, I remember that's always what, for those of you who may remember the buffet restaurants, we had a couple in Eugene, International King's Table, Norse Chuck Wagon, and Friday they always had fish. That was always what they had. And that was because of this. So it's Fish Fry Day today, and not surprisingly, it's National Tartar Sauce Day to go along with that. If you're going to have fish and fry up some fish, you probably are thinking maybe you should have some tartar sauce with it. Also today, we got some pretty good stuff here. It's National Muffin Day today, so a nice warm muffin on a winter day. And for dessert, it's National Cherry Pie Day today. Now, you're not going to find fresh cherries for the most part today, but you may have saved some in the freezer for pie filling, etc. So there you go. For what it's worth, may not be a whole lot. It is 8:10 in the morning. We will come back, and we will talk to Tamara Tappell from the Mount Adams Chamber of Commerce right after this.
Looking to level up your fitness game? The Power Station in Hood River is your one-stop spot for strength, sweat, and now indoor pickleball. Yup, is it too hot, too cold, too windy, or crowded? The Power Station has a state-of-the-art indoor pickleball court, perfect for all-weather play, lessons, training, and play with your group. Whether you're crushing weights or dinking at the net, the Power Station keeps you moving strong. Learn more and book your court time now at powerstationhr.com, where Hood River trains and plays.
Hi there, I'm Sonny with Sky Heating, AC, Plumbing, and Electrical. The new year is here. Let Sky handle your HVAC, plumbing, and electrical needs so you can focus on what matters most. Plus, right now, you can get up to $100 off any repair and keep a little extra in your pocket. Visit skyheating.com today to learn more. Oregon CCB number 245538. Washington license, SKYHEHA 7635M.
Did you know Skyline Health in White Salmon has its very own sports medicine doc superstar? That's right. Dr. Ryan Petering trained at OHSU, cared for professional Nike athletes, and even spent more than 15 years teaching other doctors how it's done. From sporting injuries to arthritis, he's here to help you move better, feel stronger, and keep doing the things you love. Want to live life to its fullest? Step right up and visit MySkylineHealth.org. Skyline Health, world-class care right here at home.
Mark your calendar. The Bi-Coastal Media Radio Auction is Saturday, March 14th, presented by Guild Mortgage. Take advantage of savings on over $150,000 worth of local goods and services. Dining certificates, health and beauty, auto service, travel and entertainment, outdoor recreation, home improvement, and more. Increase your chances to win items by securing a bidder number now. Call 541-296-2211. Our on-air live radio auction, Saturday, March 14th, presented by Guild Mortgage.
Mid-Columbia Today is a public affairs program of Bi-Coastal Media Columbia River, 98.3 FM and 1340 AM KIHR and GorgeRadio.com. Now, back to Mark Bailey.
And we welcome you back as it is 8:13 in the morning. And we're joined now on the in the studio, actually, by Tamara Tappell from the Mount Adams Chamber of Commerce. Good morning, Tamara.
Good morning, Mark.
Well, thank you for being here. We appreciate it. And we got a few things to talk about today. Number one, starting up on the first day of March, and this actually runs through the Washington State Department of Commerce, but this is some small business grants that businesses in Klickitat and Skamania County are eligible to try to receive.
Yes, you're going to hear these referred to as a CRP grant, which is Community Reinvestment Plan. And yes, it is the Washington State Department of Commerce that's making these funds available. And they're really funneling it through the South Central Workforce Council, which serves Klickitat and Skamania counties. And that's how we're going to be able to navigate some of these funds for our small businesses.
So what are they eligible for here? Looks like up to a grant of $5,000.
Yes, and it's for a pretty wide array of things, from employee training, marketing, maybe it's new equipment, could just be basic operations, but there will be some workshops that we're going to hold so that people who are interested in learning more about this will be able to come and really find out the details, make sure it's worth their time to apply.
It does look like there is some priority to certain businesses here.
They are indicating that businesses that are owned and operated by generally, you know, a minority group will be given some preference, but that does not, you know, mean that everybody's not eligible to apply.
Now, is this something relatively new, or is this something that's been around before?
You know, I believe this has been something that has been out there before, but it's not something that we've seen recently, as far as what I'm aware of. This community reinvestment plan is probably possibly been under a different name, but, you know, they do these sort of things.
And I mean, they're not big grants, obviously, at $5,000, but for a small business, I imagine they can be very helpful.
I would think so. I mean, that's a lot of hamburgers or smoothies if, you know, you're a restaurant or a small business that's just focusing on one product.
So Now, they're not taking applications for this yet, we should note. They're March 1st is when this program's actually going to start. And again, you mentioned there's going to be some information sessions going on. I assume the Chamber is keeping an eye on that.
We are, and we're going to actually host one over here, probably in White Salmon, Bingen area, probably up towards the Goldendale area. That community will have a session available as well, and then in Skamania County.
And there is a website we will note for this, and this is the Department of Commerce in the state of Washington. It's called the Community Reinvestment Plan, where this is coming out of.
Mm-hmm.
But they have a website, scworkforce.org. It stands for South Central, which is Yakima, Kittitas, Klickitat, and Skamania counties. scworkforce.org is the website, so people can go and take a look at that and see if this is something they might be able to take advantage of here.
I anticipate they're going to make the process very easy, as most small business owners are really not grant writers. And so that's where we'll learn more. But we as the Chamber are definitely here to support our business community and help facilitate however we can to make this easy for them and do what we can to bring some of these funds here into our counties.
So, again, this is going to be the grant application process starts March 1st. You can always go and look this up on their website, scworkforce.org. And get an idea of what's going on, but also watch for the Mount Adams Chamber of Commerce to announce when they're going to do an information session on this. To really give you, I take it the state brings somebody in here to kind of explain all this and
through the South Central workforce staff. Yes.
I'm interested to know. I mean, for a small business, are there many grants like this out there available? I mean, are there resources people don't realize that they can go get?
I would say yes. They're definitely. Are resources that many people do not realize are available to them. That's one of the advantages of being a chamber member is that you're more in the loop of the communication about these sort of things. But then, you know, we want to reach out to the whole community. It's not just limited to, you know, who's a chamber member, but that definitely brings you closer to the people that have got the important information.
Mm-hmm. But there is help out there available. So again, scworkforce.org, and keep an eye out with Tamara and the Mount Adams Chamber of Commerce, because there will be a information session on this at some point in the next few weeks to talk about this. So also, speaking of money, everything comes around to money anyway, Big Art, we alluded to Big Art when you were here last month. And let's talk about what you're doing with Big. First, for those who aren't familiar, when we say Big Art for the Klickitat, West Klickitat County area specifically, what are we talking about here?
Well, even bigger than that, really, Art of Community is a nonprofit that started here in Hood River about a decade ago, and so they have adopted us on the north shore of the river to be the north shore arm of Big Art, and it is the public art installs that are scattered around the community in public areas, usually sculptures, not, you know, flat murals or things of that nature. And they are there for a 2-year cycle. They're sponsored by a business or an individual, and that pays the artist stipend as well as insurance and some things that have to be done for logistics and administration. But this is really a great way for somebody to be part of the community. There's a plaque that'll have your business name or whatever you want to be listed there. You're in all of the marketing and the media that happens around Big Art. But art like this really changes the face of a community. It's really important to the health of our residents, as well as being enticing to people that are just passing through.
Now, if I remember right, you've got a new install coming. Or you're trying to have a new install. I can't remember which.
We, at this time, have 2 pieces of Big Art in White Salmon and 2 pieces in Bingen that are on the 2-year cycle of install, you know, cycling. However, one of the pieces from Bingen was purchased by the business owner, so that'll become a permanent piece. And then we will be potentially looking for another location in Bingen to place the second piece that we might have sponsored.
Mm-hmm. So you're looking for sponsors, is what you're telling me.
It's the bottom line.
That tends to be that. So if someone wants to sponsor this, you know, sponsor a piece of art, I imagine you either sponsor it all the way or sponsor it partially. I mean, there's varying plans depending on your business. So how does someone go about this?
Really, probably the best way is just to reach out and talk to me over at the Chamber office, and we can have a conversation about what their interest is, what community, what site. You know, and I can explain more detail about how the program works and just really kind of figure out what works best.
I take it you don't, the big art effort doesn't pick the spots in advance, it sounds like. This is kind of based on where the sponsorship comes from, is that right?
It's a mix of that. We have pads that are existing, which are easy to be able to just put the new installation into those locations, like in the parks. Both Rheingarten and Dobbin Spec Park have an install pad. However, yes, if a business owner wanted to step up and say, hey, I've got a place to put a pad, and I'd love to have this right in front of my shop so it's drawing attention and bringing visitors in to talk more about this piece of big art, then yes, we can do that.
So when are you hoping to kind of get settled on whatever is going to be done next?
They're vetting the pieces of art right now for the portfolio that we will choose for both Hood River and our side of the river.
Okay, so there's a portfolio then of art that's been done.
Vetted pieces through the AOC board, yes. And then we work with the sponsors on making those final selections for what is going to be the end result. And, you know, there's a process to it for sure, between what pieces really fit into what sites and what's desired by the sponsor.
Is this, again, going to be like on a two-year cycle?
Mm-hmm.
All right, so they stay up for 2 years.
Yes.
At that point.
And then we'll go through this whole process again.
And then you do it again. Okay, yes. All right. So unless, of course, you have a business that wants it, and then obviously you change your plan.
Yes, and even after you have purchased one of the big art pieces, you can still have that piece of art remain on the map. It's just a smaller little fee to basically, for the printing of the hard map that goes out, and the other pieces of the insurance and things.
Yeah, you know, you mentioned some of what the benefits are of this. Do we know how much, and this goes to the tourism side a little bit, how much having artwork like this out, what it necessarily does for increasing visitation? Do we have an idea on that?
I can tell you that the business in Bingen that has purchased their piece of artwork is a huge ambassador of this program since having the piece installed. The owner really felt that he could absolutely validate that traffic was stopping because of that piece of artwork. They had questions about, you know, it was a wide range of questions that weren't necessarily even connected to his business, but it brought people in the door for one reason or another. They liked it. They stopped. They wanted to know more. They wanted to take pictures. So I believe yes.
Okay. So, again, if someone wants to be involved in a big art project, just contact you at the Mount Adams Chamber of Commerce.
Yes.
And you can find out about that there. In April, this has become an annual event.
Mm-hmm.
White Salmon Bingen area. This is the community-wide yard sale event.
Yes.
And I'm going to do a full admission here. I don't get the attraction for people to do these, but I get that people go to them a lot, and they can be very, very lucrative for people to do this. And what do you guys got going out there in April?
Well, first I should just note that at the end of April, the communities of White Salmon and Bingen do a community cleanup that's just really for those residents. But a part of that event, we've created this free cycle zone, which is almost like a little mini yard sale inside the cleanup event. And it has just really gotten beyond our control. It just becomes so much stuff, and it's great stuff, and it's for free, but it's such a short window that nobody comes and takes it all. We end up having to put a lot of it into landfill, and we're really trying to avoid that, and even us having to move it around the site. So we've started a couple years back, this will be the fourth annual this year, encouraging a community-wide yard sale and for businesses to do sidewalk sales or open houses and get rid of your extra inventory or clean out your basement and garage, I mean, whatever it is, but move the stuff to somebody who does want it in advance of the cleanup. And it really helps people kind of glean down and do their sorting and prepare for the actual cleanup event that's 2 weeks later.
Mm-hmm. So you're going to do this thing second week in April, right?
Yes.
April 10th through the 12th.
Correct.
And I guess there's really two elements to this. There is the community yard sale, if you will, as in these are the folks, you know, they're doing a yard sale in their house, a garage sale, whatever you want to call it. They can get involved in this, it sounds like, by just registering their sale with you with is this the Chamber or the Rotary Club? Both?
I belong to both, so
okay.
But really, it's the Chamber kind of steering the boat with the marketing, making the map.
Okay, whose logo is on it? So okay, it's the Mount Adams Chamber of Commerce. It sounds like it's pretty easy to get on the map for this.
Yes, it's free. I'm going to create a map. You just let me know your details. You contact our at the visitor center, and we'll capture your information. Then we're going to build this electronic map and have some hard copies, but hopefully most people will look at it electronically and be able to like root themselves around the community on this weekend and find their gems.
And then, though, there's also the business sidewalk sale element of this, and that's another element that takes part in this.
Yes, and of course, so that's going to mean a little bit of a shift for people to think about maybe getting out of their car and actually walking up and down the downtown strip, looking in and out of some of the businesses, those who are posting, you know, we're open, we've got a sale, whatever they want to promote. And so there is that as well.
So I know there's other communities that do this. How popular are these things? I mean, I get the impression people really... There are people who love to go find treasures, and this is how they do it.
It's become a real culture, I think, of people who are, they want to be thrifty, they want to find a deal. Sometimes they're treasure hunters, and you don't know what you're going to find in the next table at the yard sale.
Yeah. So, how much participation do you get in this? What was it like last year?
I want to say off the top of my head that we had around 20 people who registered.
Okay.
But I will tell you that as I drove around that weekend, there were a lot more people that were having sales that just put a sign up out in front of their curb, and they weren't on the map, but they were busy.
Yeah.
Also, free piles. Ton of people put free piles just out on their curb for people to just drive around and grab stuff if they wanted it, and they weren't necessarily on the map. So cruising through the community is... worthwhile.
So this is going to be in the weekend of April 10th through the 12th. So I think that's Friday through Sunday, I'm assuming.
It is, yes.
So if someone would like to be, this is White Salmon and Bingen only, I assume?
Yes.
Okay. And you want to be a part of the community-wide yard sale and or the business sidewalk sale, whichever you qualify under. What do they do?
They can just give us a call over there at the Chamber office at 509-493-3630 or give us an email at mountadamschamber@gmail.com. Easy enough. And or just look us up on the internet, mountadamschamber.com.
And you can take part and get on the map. Well, what's the deadline to get on the map?
I think I said April 7th, a couple days before the weekend so that we can get it finalized and start getting it pushed out. People will start asking us for it on probably Thursday.
All right. So you're doing it electronically based for the most part, it sounds like. So that gives you time to adjust as you go on along. But it's not that far away, actually, when you actually break it down here.
That's why we want to get out there in front of people and to have them mark it on their calendars. If they are a community resident that wants to participate, it's time to start thinking about going through stuff and sorting.
So one more thing to mention here before we get away. We're hitting the bottom of the hour here. And that is, and this is associated with this because you brought it up, the community cleanup will be in late April in Bingen and White Salmon. And I assume it'll be similar to what it has been for the last, quite a few number of years.
A lot of years. I've kind of lost track, but I want to say it's probably about 37.
It's been, I won't say it's been forever, but it's pretty close.
Quite a few decades.
Yes.
This is an amazing community event. We are going to have new hours. That's the biggest thing that I need to communicate to everybody that wants to be involved in any way, and that's that we're going to end both days at 3 o'clock. We've been open until 5, from 9 to 5, both days, Friday and Saturday, for a lot of years. But I've just realized the last few years it's getting very difficult to get enough volunteers in that last shift of the day to man it. And so we, you know what, we're going to close at 3 and avoid that.
Oh, that makes sense. Yeah, that's fine. If you're finding that this is when people are showing up, and you got some hours when they're not, there's really no reason to have everybody's. You have a lot of volunteers giving a lot of time to this, so rather than have them sit around,
exactly.
Concentrate on the hours when they actually gets busy. So, going to do it from 9 to 3 on those days.
That's what we're thinking. Yes,
and we will talk about this again much closer. By the way,
thank you, Mark.
But the community cleanup always a big event in the Bingen and White Salmon area, and. Again, that will be the last weekend in April, a couple weeks after the yard sales take place. And, Tamara, for any of the things we talked about here this morning, how do people get a hold of you?
Again, just come and stop in at the visitor center over there on the west side of the Hood River Bridge exit on SR 14. You can see us in person, or you can look up MountAdamsChamber.com and find us through that.
Tamara DePell from the Mount Adams Chamber of Commerce, thanks for being with us.
Thank you, Mark.
8:30 in the morning on Mid-Columbia Today. We'll come back, check out news for you after this.
Never have I ever called my sister from the finish line of my first marathon.
Hello?
You won't believe where I am.
Are you running?
Mile 26. I'm going to make it.
Switch to T-Mobile's 55 Plus plan and get iPhone 16e with its advanced camera system on us. Plus, two lines for just $30 a line.
Guys, I can't believe it.
I knew you could do it, babe.
That was amazing. Mom, how do you feel? I feel great. I can't feel my feet. Let's take a picture. And then you may carry me to the car.
Share every stride, every mile, every memory on America's best network. Switch to T-Mobile's 55 Plus plan and get iPhone 16e on us and two lines for just $30 a line.
With 24-month bill credits and two eligible port-ins on Essentials 55 Plus for well-qualified customers with autopay plus taxes, fees, and $35 device connection charge. Credits end and balance due if you pay off early or cancel. Contact us. Finance agreement 128 gigabytes, $599.99 required. Best mobile network in the U.S. based on analysis by Ookla of Speed Test Intelligence Data 1H2025. Visit T-Mobile.com.
Do you want someone you can trust to do your auto body work, collision repair, or new paint job? Of course you do. So don't go to a franchise. Go to Jack's Body Shop and Rhino Linings of the Gorge. Jack's Body Shop and Rhino Linings of the Gorge is an authorized dealer of Rhino Lining spray-on protected bed liners. We're family-owned and have been in business since 1969. Jack's Body Shop and Rhino Linings of the Gorge. 621 East 2nd Street, downtown The Downs. 296-9170. JacksBodyShop.net. Jack's Body Shop and Rhino Linings of the Gorge.
Coffee for Mid-Columbia Today guests is provided by Hood River Coffee Roasters, the Gorge's local coffee roasters, on Tucker Road on the Heights in Hood River.
A32 in the morning on Mid-Columbia Today. We're scheduled to have with us Alicia Sherburn from the Big River Community Land Trust here in just a few minutes. But first, let's take a look at what is in the news. Dallas Deputy Fire Chief Josh Rogers has been named the City of Hood River's new fire chief. Rogers began his fire service career as a firefighter and paramedic in Georgia, continued his career with the City of Dallas here in Oregon, where he has served since 2022. He progressed through increasing levels of responsibility, including the ranks of lieutenant, captain, shift commander, and most recently serving as deputy fire chief in the City of the Dalles. He received his Bachelor's of Science, or City of Dallas, rather. Rogers received his Bachelor's of Science in Fire Administration from Columbia Southern University in Orange Beach, Alabama, holds a Pro Board Accredited Fire Officer of the 4-4 certification, and earned his Executive Fire Officer Certificate from the National Fire Academy. Rogers will be taking over for Leonard Damian, who announced his retirement after more than 9 years with the City of Hood River's Fire Department. The Oregon Health Authority has published a new measles wastewater surveillance dashboard showing viral concentrations by county and categorizing activity as very low, low, moderate, or high over two-week periods. There have been 5 confirmed cases of measles in Oregon so far in 2026, but OHA's Medical Director for Communicable Diseases and Immunizations, Dr. Howard Chiu, says that likely represents only a portion of infections that have occurred.
What I really want families to hear is that measles is here in Oregon. Cases are rising across the United States, and people should really reconsider their vaccine decisions and talk to their healthcare providers to make sure that they and their families are getting the protection that they need.
For the two-week period ending February 7th, low levels of measles virus were observed in wastewater from 9 counties. Locally, the last two-week period with data on the dashboard in Hood River and Wasco counties ended January 31st. Hood River County wastewater showed a low level of measles virus during that time period, while in Wasco County it was termed non-detectable. The Providence Hospital System announcing that Phil and Penny Knight have given $75 million to cardiac care at Providence Heart Institute and Providence St. Vincent Medical Center. The Oregonian Oregon Live reporting it's the Knight family's second $75 million gift to Providence Health and Services, following one in 2019. The Knights have given nearly $200 million to the Heart Institute, according to Providence. Phil Knight co-founded Nike after graduating from the University of Oregon and earning a master's degree in business at Stanford. He and his wife, Penny Knight, have jointly announced the family's most recent philanthropic gifts, including a $2 billion pledge to Oregon Health and Science University's Knight Cancer Institute announced in August. The new gift to Providence is being used to support clinical trials, advanced procedures, and other forms of care. The new gift will be used to establish the Knight Innovation Fund, which works to improve access to state-of-the-art cardiac programs. It will also be used to hire providers and researchers. The New York Times reporting the husband of U.S. Labor Secretary Lori Chavez de Remer, who represented Oregon's 5th Congressional District from 2023 to 2025, has been barred from Labor Department headquarters after at least two female staff members reported he had sexually assaulted them. Chavez de Remer's husband, Dr. Sean de Remer, an anesthesiologist in Portland, is accused of touching the women inappropriately at the Labor Department's building on Constitution Avenue in Washington, D.C. The New York Times reports are based on anonymous sources and police documents. The women's concerns raised as part of an internal investigation by the department's inspector general into alleged misconduct by Chavez de Remer and her staff. Weather forecast calling for some cloudiness today. There's a chance of showers later on. Highs low 40s, west wind to 10 miles per hour. Currently 34 degrees in Stevenson, the Dalles, and Hood River. Mid-Columbia mornings time is 8:36 in the morning.
Cold and flu season has arrived. You can trust Exergen's new TAT 2000 C+ thermometer to give you accurate and reliable temperature readings for the whole family with just a gentle forehead scan. And right now, the new Exergen TAT 2000 C+ is available on Amazon for less than $20.
Progressive Insurance knows pets, and one of the biggest differences between people and pets is that we don't eat things off the floor. But dogs definitely will, and it makes them so happy. No matter what it looks like, smells like, or what state of decomposition it's in, we all want to go through life that carefree. And that's also why you should get Progressive Pet Insurance, because they eat things off the floor. So protect your pet from all the questionable life decisions they make. You know where they drink from when you're gone, right? Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Coverage subject to policy terms and conditions.
Hey, it's Zach from Del Carpine Automotive, where we specialize in keeping European rides happy. Audi, BMW, Mercedes, and even those tall Sprinter vans that look like hotels on wheels. We know them inside and out. And if you're wondering where we went, we didn't go far. We're just now 5 minutes from our old shop in our brand new location in the Upper Hood River. Same trusted crew, more space, and the same honest family-owned service. Come see us at Del Carpine Automotive. European expertise and Columbia Gorge roots.
Hi, this is Michelle from Hood River Supply. Got a big project? We've got rentals, heaters, generators, flooring tools, and even gear for larger jobs. As your locally owned co-op since 1949, we serve over 1,500 members gorge-wide. Plus, enjoy store-to-door delivery within 50 miles. Join the co-op or Ace Rewards and start saving. Visit us in Hood River, Odell, or online at hrsupply.com. Hood River Supply, around the block with what you need in stock and rentals, too.
Say hello to the Goodbyes Coupon Book.
The Goodbyes Coupon Book is back.
On page 50, take 25% off any service at Big Bombshell Beauty, located in Beaux-Trois Day Spa and Salon in the Dalles. And on page 12, get $3,000 off your purchase of a new double-wide manufactured home from Columbia Gorge Affordable Home.
Pick up a free Goodbyes Coupon Book at any of these business locations or online at gorgeradio.com.
Hello, Goodbyes. Hello, Goodbyes.
KIHR weather for the Gorge.
Your local forecast brought to you by SheFire. For all your fire protection needs and safety training, we're certified, mobile, local, and insured. 541-980-1181. 980-1181. That's SheFire.
Partly sunny this morning, becoming mostly cloudy. There's a chance of showers through the day. High temperatures in the lower 40s and the west wind up to around 10 miles per hour.
Mid-Columbia Today is a public affairs program of Bi-Coastal Media Columbia River, 98.3 FM and 1340 AM KIHR and GorgeRadio.com. Now, back to Mark Bailey.
And it is now 8:39 in the morning on Mid-Columbia Today. We're happy to have joining us in the studio from Big River Community Land Trust, their Executive Director, Alicia Sherburn. Good morning, Alicia.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Well, thanks for coming in. It was a good time to have you on, we decided, because you just got some pretty good news, I guess about a week ago or so. You got a federal grant and a fairly sizable one. So what came down?
We're extremely excited about it. We just got a $2 million allocation for our new project we're doing in Hood River. So very excited to have that. It's a huge benefit for us in getting this project off the ground.
So where exactly did the grant come from here? What program is involved here?
It's actually a Senate allocation.
Okay.
Yeah, so it'll be coming down through HUD, but...
Through Housing Urban Development.
Mm-hmm.
So $2 million. Is this all for the Avalon Drive property you purchased here?
It is.
It is. So where does that put you on that project? I mean, it gives you, I think, a good push, but my bet is you're not there yet.
Correct. Yeah, this is a really good start to get us off the ground. So we're in planning stages right now. We're actually hoping to be submitting our land use application in a couple of weeks, but we do have several more funding sources we're going after to really get this going. And we will be doing some fundraising in the community too to help fill any gaps.
I say, how important is it to kind of get, and I hope I'm not mischaracterizing it, but that first big grant for a project?
It's pretty important, and honestly feels pretty good to know that we've got that support at that level. We also just submitted a grant application through the state, through Oregon Housing and Community Services. So that also gives us an extra up for them, just showing that we do have extra support and that we're being taken seriously for this one.
We'll step back here for a second, then we'll get into the local need here in a moment. But this project you're looking at for, I'm going to step back even one bit further because I don't think people all know who Big River is. I was rolling with an assumption here that I shouldn't have. Big River Community Land Trust, for those who are not familiar, tell us about this organization, which it's been around a little while now, but really in the last couple of years since you became executive directors as things really have cranked up for you.
Yeah, so we are a 501c3 nonprofit, and we are doing workforce housing here in the Gorge. So we're kind of targeting home ownership opportunities for middle income, low to middle income, and just trying to bring some housing that stays permanently affordable so that we can keep our local workforce working where they're living.
And you've got, I know, one house at least underway, and it was a very unique piece of small property, if I remember. It was a little sliver of land the city had that I think was like had a pump station on it or something they didn't use anymore.
Yeah, it's out past Windmaster Corner. So it is a tiny, tiny little sliver. And the house is completed now, and I'm working with the buyer. So we're hoping to have that fully closed and wrapped up probably end of March, early April.
But the concept as far as keeping homes that this trust ends up building affordable, what's the basic concept?
So how we work is when we sell the house, we sell that to the buyer who comes in, and we maintain ownership over the land, and we have them sign a 99-year ground lease, and that ground lease puts in a resale restriction. So they're still building some equity off of it, which we're hoping eventually they can put into buying a market rate home, but it means that when they sell, we get to keep targeting that same income level buyer.
And the income level that you're targeting is, I take it that may vary depending on the project as you grow. But what's kind of the basic level here? I think people are used to hearing about like the Mariposa Village type projects that's currently being built right now in Hood River. That tends to be that 50% and even in a lower income group. You're going higher than that.
We are. So we're targeting about 60 to 120% of area median income. So what that looks like per household is about 80 to 85,000 at the lower end, and then we're probably about 130,000, 140,000 at the higher end.
So the basic concept is this is about, frankly, what I keep harping on a lot on this show, because my contention is, and there's nothing wrong with Mariposa Village, I always preface that, but you can build plenty of those, but the problem is we don't have any place for them to go after that. And this is about, again, the people who are trying to work around here, and the money you just mentioned, those are all well-paying, you know, decently salaried people here that shouldn't have this problem. But because of the housing issues in this area, for various reasons, they do.
Yeah, and that's part of why we're trying to fill this gap. And I'm also a big fan of what they're doing at Mariposa Village.
Yeah,
I think it's a great project.
Nothing wrong with it. I'm just pointing out that it's not a cure-all.
Yeah, and so that's kind of where we wanted to come in so that we could stack on top of what they're doing. And again, as you said to your point, we're trying to give people a place to go in the interim and give them kind of that missing rung on the ladder so they can eventually get into market rate homes.
So now this gets us to about a year ago or so when you were able to acquire the Avalon property?
Yeah, almost exactly a year.
So how big is that property out there?
It's about 2.7 acres.
So 2.7 acres. I've seen varying numbers of how many housing units you can build. And, of course, I mean, it depends on what you decide to build there. But what kind of, is there a target number right now?
Our current plan, we're looking at doing 42 homes.
Okay. And when we talk homes in this case, what types of homes are we talking about? Are we going from standalone houses, duplexes, triplexes, townhomes, a mixture? Well, what are we looking at?
We're doing a little mixture. So most of those are going to be townhomes, and then there will be some standalone units also.
So it's a kind of a varied mixture. I would imagine that part of that is to try to address, everybody has a different maybe viewpoint of what they consider their, quote, dream home is. And what they want, their living situation, which I imagine that obviously differs from person to person, which makes what you're trying to do a little more difficult because there's no great standard answer here. So what is that zoned out there? I think it's already zoned, isn't it, for what you want to do?
Yeah, it's zoned R2.
So you're in a good shape there. So that gets us to, you get the $2 million from the federal grants on this. What's the estimated cost to actually do a project like this?
We're current numbers, and we're obviously still doing some adjusting, but we're looking about $23, $24 million.
So that's still a pretty good gap at this. So how much do you actually have to raise to actually start doing stuff on there? I mean, I imagine that number differs from the complete build-out number.
Yeah, and we do have some startup funds, but obviously the more the merrier. We figured we had about a total $4 million gap that we needed to fill. Mm-hmm. So this is covering about half of that, and this is assuming that we get all these sources of funding that we're applying for also.
Yeah. Did that federal grant represent, I may be going over what we already talked about here, but did that federal grant represent kind of the starting block where some of these other grants you've already gotten the fire allows them to become more likely to receive?
Yes, yeah, and that's the hope. And especially with the state funding, because they want to see that we've got all of our other sources lined up before we can close on that. So this is huge for us in being able to kind of fill that gap that we had.
So how difficult is it to find grant funding for this level of project? And one thing I've talked about on this show is there will always be grant funding, it seems, for, again, that 50% and under part. And rightfully so. I mean, I get why. What's it like and how competitive is it for the grants for what we're talking about here? We're trying to fill that 80 to 120% gap.
There's not a lot of options for this price range, and it is very competitive. So the state funding we're after will go up to 80% of area median income, and we're doing about 60% of our project at that level. Mm-hmm. So that will be a huge thing to cover, a big portion of the project, obviously, but there's going to be a lot of applications in, and they can't fund everything. So that one is highly competitive. The state also right now has a middle income revolving loan fund that they just started. And so this is kind of a new thing. I think only one or two areas have taken advantage of this yet. But we have been working with the city of Hood River to partner with them to get this set up so that we can take advantage of that, which is a little less competitive being a revolving loan. That is something we'll have to pay back over time. And then there is another like state infrastructure grant funding that we're working on in partnership. Also going to be highly competitive. It's the first time they've done this. And there are a couple other sources we're looking at, but there's not a lot of options specifically for this middle income. So it is a challenge.
And that then turns us to the local fundraising on this. It sounds like you're about to start another stage of that. So
yes.
What do you have planned?
That we're still kind of getting a feel for what that's going to look like, but we are looking at options for potential partnerships with employers to open up housing specifically for local employees. And then, of course, we're also looking to private donors who maybe want to do an investment or do a larger donation once we kind of get more solidified numbers on what that looks like.
Mm-hmm. How much does, because usually with grants in various areas, not just housing, grantors are often looking for, okay, the local participation. Mm-hmm. You with the federal money, and housing's a little different, but the federal money kind of jump-started that a little bit for you. But
yeah.
what was for some of these state grants especially, how important is it going to be to get some local fundraising done to set those up?
It is going to be very important. They want to see that there is community buy-in, that this is something the community actually values and wants to have here. So that is a big push that we're going to be doing this year, is to continue raising awareness, to get people involved, to walk them on the site, to have them see the site plan, what we're looking at. And we're actually starting that next week. We do have to do a community meeting as we're doing the land use, so the neighbors can really see what's happening also, because we want to get them on board. We want to get them to understand what it is, to be able to ask us questions, and really get a feel for what we're trying to accomplish.
With this, is there an economy of scale as far as, I think you said $23-24 million to be full build out costs. Obviously, you don't have to do that with that piece of land necessarily right away. But is there like a level of number of homes you've kind of got to have to start to really feel good about, okay, we can start with this number and we'll know fiscally we'll be okay?
Yeah, that's part of what we're identifying right now, because we are anticipating we're going to have to do this in phases. So we're kind of piecing it out and looking at maybe doing 2 to 3 phases of construction, so possibly 10 to 15 homes to start with, partially to make sure that all the funding lines up, and also partially just to handle buyers coming in and not oversaturating the market. We need to make sure that we've got qualified buyers, that they understand what they're coming into. So working with a smaller number at a time is easier.
Mm-hmm. So if someone's interested in helping out with this and learning more about it, actually, you just mentioned that you're going to have a community meeting on the Avalon property. I'm telling you, is this in preparation for, well, you know, you're already zoned properly, but I assume this is just in preparation for some various items here. When's that meeting going to be?
That meeting is coming up on Tuesday, and we're going to be doing it at Faith Bible Church at 5 p.m. It is mostly for the neighbors to understand what the land use looks like, but I'm open to questions if anybody wants to stop by.
Okay, so that'll be going on. And you know, again, that is in many ways, as you just mentioned, though, targeted toward the neighborhood in the area, because there are a lot of homes around that piece of property right now. For those who would like to learn more, and perhaps maybe, and they've got some money they'd like to invest, or however they you want to phrase it, how can they begin to think about getting involved in this?
Yeah, there's a couple of ways. I mean, obviously donations are huge for us. We also have volunteer opportunities, but you can find out more information at bigrivercLT.org, or you can email me directly. It's just info@bigrivercLT.org.
I'm sure also there are people out there listening who have been trying to get into the home market around here. I think we're a little early for that on this project, but I assume, are you getting inquiries about this?
We are, and we do have an interested buyers list that we've had out there for the last couple of years,
yeah.
And I've got about 85 households on that list right now. Whoa. So we are kind of keeping communications, and my goal probably later this year into early next year is to start really doing more information sessions with those who are interested in purchasing, so we can make sure that they're prepped and ready by the time the homes are on the market.
So, which also, though, goes to show that does outline kind of what the issue is around here, because it's not like this has been front and center of all the news for the last year, that this project, you know, you've been in there from time to time, but 85 with really there's no formal process yet, I guess that shows why this land trust has been put together in the first place.
Yeah, and that's, I mean, the community need that's been seen for a long time. That's
oh, sure.
Why the board started this whole thing, is just recognizing that too many people are having to move out of the area, make that long commute, or just mm-hmm. having to leave the gorge in general.
Yeah, and I assume also still looking for other pieces of land, given that number.
Always, yeah. This one will be a big project on our plate for a little bit, but we're hoping in about a year, once we really start breaking ground, we can look mm-hmm. at some other opportunities.
Alicia Sherburne has been our guest. Again, Big River Community Land Trust. One more time on the website so people can take a look at it.
Yeah, you can find us at bigriverclt.org.
Bigriverclt.org. And again, this is getting close now in terms of the opportunities here to get started on that Avalon Road property. That'll be a big, really a milestone for this at this point. Actually, just getting the one house done is a big milestone.
It is. Yeah, I'm very excited to get the buyers in there and to be able to show people what this really looks like from start to finish.
But this will be an interesting process here now, is that the federal money has kicked in on this. Alicia, thanks for coming in. Appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
It is 8:54 in the morning. We'll come back and wrap it up for you after this.
You're still grooving, still connecting, still loving, still turning up, still thriving. You still got it. But your immune system, it weakens as you age. That's where vaccines come in. They help train and strengthen your immune response to fight off respiratory illnesses like flu, pneumococcal pneumonia, RSV, or COVID-19. Ask your doctor or pharmacist which vaccines you need. Book in minutes at VaxAssist.com. Sponsored by Pfizer.
It's tax time, y'all. If you want to file free, this next one's for you.
Now taxes is so free.
Love that jam. Up next, commercials.
Intuit TurboTax Free Edition. See if you qualify at TurboTax.com/free. No schedules except for earned income tax credit, child tax credit, student loan interest, and Schedule 1A.
Ever feel nervous walking into a gun store for the first time? You're not alone.
Hi, I'm not sure where to start. This is my first time here.
Welcome, and don't worry, you're in good hands. Whether you're new to firearms or just looking for information, we're here to help. At Gorge Guns, we understand that buying a firearm is a big decision, especially if it's your first time. Our experienced and friendly staff are here to guide you every step of the way. We offer safety course information, personalized advice, and a welcome environment for all our customers. Feel free to ask any questions you have.
Wow, thank you. This makes me feel so much better.
Visit Gorge Guns today and experience a different kind of gun store, where knowledge, safety, and customer comfort come first.
I felt silly for being nervous, but they were so friendly and really helpful. I felt so comfortable and supported.
Visit Gorge Guns, the best little gun shop in the Gorge, at 1040 Tucker Road in Hood River, or online at gorgeguns.com.
If you owe back taxes, listen carefully to rule number one. Never go up against the IRS alone. They're cracking down, freezing bank accounts, garnishing paychecks, canceling passports. Even your home or business could be at risk. But here's what they don't tell you. The IRS has powerful tax relief programs that could save you thousands if you qualify. That's why smart people call Optima Tax Relief, America's number one tax resolution firm. Nobody knows these programs like the experts at Optima. Their team of tax attorneys and licensed professionals have resolved over $2 billion in tax debt for people just like you. The IRS is not stopping, so don't wait and don't take them on alone. For tax help you need, for tax help you can trust, call Optima today for a free consultation.
Call 800-780-3599. 800-780-3599. 800-780-3599.
Optima Tax Relief.
Some restrictions apply. For complete details, please visit OptimaTaxRelief.com.
Tune in weekday mornings at 8:05 and keep up with community events and issues with the Mid-Columbia Today Show on Mid-Columbia's News Leaders, 98.3 FM and 1340 AM KIHR.
8:57 in the morning on Mid-Columbia Today. Team Canada's in trouble. The Olympic men's hockey semifinal, it's 2-0 Finland. 6:20 go on the second. Canada is on the power play right now. They just got a high sticking call, but Finland got a shorthanded goal in the second period early on, and UC Soros, the Nashville goaltender, is shutting them down right now. He has played an outstanding game. This is a big power play for Canada right now. Late in the second period, I don't think you don't want to go down to the Finland going to the third period. That's a tough road to come back on. The Finns are always scrappy defensively. I mean, they get a lead. They lock it down as well as any country does. USA plays Slovakia a little after noon. Canada just scored, by the way. They did get a power play goal on this. They got one for the point, so it's 2-1. That's a big goal. Big, big goal. It's a whole different kettle of fish at a goal going to the final period. And there's still 5:40 to go in the second. But you go in down two of the third period of Finland against Soros, I don't like your chances. I really don't. I think Cale Makar just got the goal from the point, the Colorado Avalanche defenseman. Anyway, I'm not sure. I've got it on right now, the Olympic app. I'm not sure if it's on one of the NBC channels right now, because the one I expected it to be on, there was something else on there instead. Looks like that ball. That looks like that puck may have glanced off some people on the way to the net, though. Anyway, you can tell I watch this heavily. Americans again play at noon against Slovakia. At least two former Portland Winterhawks, by the way, are in this game today. You got Seth Jarvis playing for Team Canada. Henry Ohikaru is playing for the Finns. There may be another one or two in there, too. But anyway, if you make your way to Memorial Coliseum to see the Winterhawks. There's a couple players in this. There always are some Winterhawks in this. But we're out of time this morning. On Monday, when we come back, we'll talk City of Hood River and Klickitat County. For Cameron Eisenberg, who'll be actually producing basketball tonight. That's why he's not here. I'm Mark Bailey. Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you again on Monday.
Columbia Today Show is a public affairs presentation of Bi-Coastal Media, Columbia River. The views expressed on the program are not necessarily those of the station, parent company, or of the sponsors. We welcome your suggestions for future shows. Call us at 541-386-1511. If you've missed any of today's show, go online to GorgeRadio.com and click on Local On Demand for our podcast version. Thank you for listening to Mid-Columbia Today.